You're welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to call the September 24th, 2020 study session of the Historic Preservation Commission to order. Mr. Lau, may I please have the roll call?
Yes, absolutely. All right. Vice Chair Beal. Commissioner Honestad.
Present.
Commissioner Huff.
Here.
Commissioner Wilson.
Present.
And Chair Munden.
Present. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I will be allowing public comment on our study session agenda item. So before moving on, I want to remind the audience on how to participate in this process. Everyone's microphone, except for the individual that has the floor, will be muted throughout the meeting to ensure as smooth and efficient meeting as possible. Only select staff can turn on your microphone at the appropriate time if you'd like to ask a question or provide comments. I will let everyone know when it is appropriate to raise your hand for our agenda item. There are two ways to do this. For those participating on any platform other than by phone, find and select the participants icon. This will open a dialog box that lists all the participants in the meeting. Scroll down until you find your name and select your name. Once your name is selected, a second box will pop up where you have the option to raise your hand. For those participating via phone, press *9 to raise your hand. Once your hand is raised, Mr. Lau will be alerted to your request to speak. At the appropriate time, I will call on those with their hands raised to provide questions or comment. Mr. Lau will unmute your access so you can speak. Please make sure you are not also muted on your personal device. As with all Town of Oro Valley public meetings, please clearly state your name and whether or not you are an Oro Valley resident. Also, speakers are limited to no more than 3 minutes. A timer will be used as with in-person meetings. And we ask you to please respect the 3 minute limit. Mr. Lau, moving on.
Yes, all right. Study session agenda, item number one. Discussion regarding future funding requests from Steam Pump Ranch Prioritization Plan.
Okay, we will allow a public comment on this item. Mr. Jankowski, please give us your presentation.
Thank you, Chair Munden and Commission members. Thank you all for making the time this afternoon to meet with us and discuss I would consider it a very fun item. As a part of this being a study session, I know that at the previous council meeting, the commission meeting, we discussed the way that we can have a much more, I would say, vibrant and beneficial discussion as doing this as a study session in providing this presentation, as well as allowing for conversation between commission members and staff to ultimately determine what direction we would like to go as a part of the prioritization plan for the historic Steam Pump Ranch property. That being said, the staff report included in the agenda outlines what staff views as the best path forward as it relates to focusing on preservation as well as strategic value when it comes to spending and repairing what is on site there at the historic Steam Pump Ranch property. Staff is continually evaluating what is going on there on the property and is working on a regular basis to make improvements as are necessary. It is very much a situation where sometimes plans don't always go as you'd hope, but ultimately the most necessary projects are taken care of. Again, as I said, sometimes things do come up, which has happened in many years previously. However, with the increase in funding that we've received for this year, fiscal year 21, and the plan to have the garage building redone, as well as the infrastructure work to waterline going across the property and the infrastructure work done to the push house in the form of fire suppression system and security system, we are very hopeful that we will be able to continue to improve the property out there and continue to receive funding from the town council. As we evaluated what we felt were the most important areas related to historic preservation out there, we utilized a number of the documents, all of which were included in the original agenda. But in particular, and what was cited specifically in the staff report, were the Steam Pump Ranch Assessment and Stabilization Report, the 2020 Consult Econ Adaptability Report, as well as the Historic Preservation Code itself. And utilizing that, we identified two different priority groups that we put those properties, those structures on the Steam Pump Ranch site into for essentially priority values. Included in that was also a map of Steam Pump Ranch so that it's easy for everybody to follow along as to the specific items that we are discussing. So Brandon, if you would be so kind as to go ahead and put that visual up so everybody can follow along. Okay, perfect. If you can scroll down just a little bit. All right, scroll up a little bit more. Okay, that looks really good right there. So as staff worked through this exercise, we identified the area known as the historic core as truly the most area in need, our priority one area. These are the structures located in this area are most in need of preservation. They hold the most history on the site, and we feel are actually realistic in cost and adaptability, and will ultimately provide the most benefit to the public, as well as general usage for events, activities, programming that can take place there. This is where the bulk of activities currently take place on the site, and improvements to these areas, as I said, are not only vitally important to ensure those structures survive, but are also things that will enhance what goes on there, allow for more activities, more enjoyment, which should in turn lead to more funding and interest in the site. And we feel that way based on the fact that we've received the funding that we have received as really a direct relation on everything that's been going on out there. So the number one priority on the property would be the barbecue building, also known as Carlos's house. This is item G located on the map. This building has been in different states of disrepair over a number of years. We have done work to it as items have been broken or vandalized or just overweathered. Those include broken windows. We've had issues with the roof structure itself to the point where we did put a new roof on the building. Prior to being able to do that, though, we did have to have some tarps and things like that for a period of time in an effort to try to mitigate any sort of damage while we were getting approval for the funding for that type of work done out there. But essentially, this portion of the ranch is really a nice area that creates some level of delineation behind the events that are going on outside of the northern port of the historic core. Anybody who's been there for a farmer's market understands that the market will utilize the Ramada area, I on the map, and on second Saturdays that can kind of flow into the historic core, and events and activities, games and whatnot usually take place on the lawn. So the strategic benefit of the barbecue building is that it could be returned to its original status, where it could be a functioning barbecue and somewhat of a kitchen area that could be used for events, for displays. It would also be designed to be opened up, so it does provide some reprieve from any sort of weather conditions that may be going on. Additionally, that building had an addition built on it later. It would be the desire to remove that portion of it and take the building back to its initial historic structure and state. And we see doing it that way would really be a great first step in continuing to welcome people onto the property. That building is one of the very first things people see as they park and walk into the building, walk onto the property, especially to attend an event, or definitely when the garage building is done, to make their way onto the property. It would be essentially step one in us being able to tell the story of Steam Pump Ranch, which, as a part of the staff report, is a bit of a turn of phrase I was using repeatedly, because that's ultimately the goal with this prioritization plan from a staff perspective. Identifying the areas of historical and cultural significance, preserving them so that we can continue to tell that story of Steam Pump Ranch. So Carlos's house, the barbecue building, had a had an estimate done of $175,000 back in 2013. We know that this assessment is somewhat close to where it will probably be. The infrastructure work that we're doing currently right now, running the main water line further south, will actually run it in an area that can be tapped and utilized as a part of that building, which will also recognize some savings, which would be to the benefit of that price point as well. So that is the main reason why this building, this structure, was identified as number one under priority one, is what we feel would be the next candidate to ask for funding and to ultimately preserve. The second item on the priority list are the bunkhouses, which is item C on the map, which you can see strategically. It's a very nice location, because if we're able to get the barbecue done, the garage building done, we have the push house done, we have the ghosted structure done. The bunkhouses are right there in the middle and would allow for that interconnectivity of the entire site. You could walk from one end to the other and be able to really walk that history that is there on the site. From some original reports that were done, the bunkhouses were identified originally as restroom structures. The idea would being that based on their size and their location, they would be best served as restroom facilities for some of the events and activities that take place on the property. With the addition of the restroom building to the north and more discussions, it has been we've looked at it a bit of a different way, because based on the size and the previous discussion of the number of fixtures you could fit in there, what would be gained by turning those into restrooms is really not that great in comparison to having a little bit more of a flexible use for that space. Anybody who's been out there when there's a large scale event going on, I think would agree that another 6 to 8 restrooms would not be enough when you see the number of portable toilets that are brought out on site. We wouldn't envision that changing, even if those two structures were to be used as restroom facilities. The need to bring in outside facilities would definitely still be worthwhile. So that got us to looking at what a different usage could be done there with those pieces of property there. The Consult Econ adaptability report identified a dressing space for programming. It also supported visitors amenities, which would be something maybe like a small visitor center, or the ability to provide some office space, which would also showcase more of the history of the site. When it was discussed that these would be restrooms, one of the ideas floated to go along with that was there being some items of historical significance in each one of the restrooms, which if you think through that, you'd really only be able to see half of it. If you're using the restrooms, if you have a male and female, you'd really only be able to see half of whatever was being displayed there. So finding a little bit more of a flexible usage provides us with two buildings on site that would be able to display the history of the site itself. Again, the idea that this structure connects the barbecue building and garage building with the push house and the ghosted structure would really allow you to park and walk through the steam pump ranch site and get an idea of what it was really like there. Walking across the pavers underneath the Ramada structure itself, past Carlos's house, which could definitely have a barbecue or some sort of activity going on there. The lawn always has some level of activity going on, whether those are family or children type games or an actual special event that's going on. You'd walk right past the garage building, which would be open and staffed with town staff there who can answer questions and provide additional information. The bunkhouses themselves would provide their own historical significance. You'd have the ability to walk in and see what's there. Follow that right along to visit the Push House Museum and get an idea of what it was actually like to live on that property at that time. And then make your way over to the ghosted structure that shows the steam pump ranch house, as well as the blacksmith area, which truly that was the reason why steam pump ranch itself exists. So you'd be able to go across the entire site if we improve these two buildings next and get a feel for what that property is truly like. So we see a huge amount of value to that, and really the significance is allowing us to tell that story of steam pump ranch there through that. The cost listed on that, the cost estimate from 2008 was $219,000. Now at that point in time in 2008, there was also a shade structure attached to that. And again, that was looking at the facilities as though they were going to be restroom structures. So it is our opinion that not having that shade structure there, as well as not having the need for that level of fixtures and infrastructure that would go along with having to build a restroom facility, that number should be somewhat accurate. That's not saying that we still couldn't run water or something like that into those buildings if we definitely needed to. But again, the infrastructure project that we're doing this year in running the main water line to the southern part of the property would allow us an easier way to go ahead and tap off of that to provide that water infrastructure there to the site. Priority item number three under priority one tier would be continuing the planting plan throughout the property. We have worked for a number of years to implement different parts and portions of the planting plan, which is quite thorough. It includes a very large number of trees and shrubs. It is when the assessment stabilization report was done in December of 2014, the original estimates were around $2 million for full build out of the planting plan. So this is an item where we have worked over many years to take bites out of that number. It would be our recommendation to continue to do that, because through implementation of portions of the planting plan, you can see such a huge benefit to the property as that has been done. As shown by, you know, just this map, you can see how nice that grass looks and what that has allowed for events to become, and why it is a site that people are actively seeking out to host different events and activities there. So it is our desire to go ahead and continue with the planting plan and identifying more areas where we can put more trees, extend any sort of vegetation as needed and as possible, and continue to move that vegetation further to the south, which will also help with our ability to drive people in that direction and create that natural flow throughout the ranch itself. It is, again, something that we don't have a price listed on here, because it is really not something that, you know, we'd want to put that almost $2 million number there. But in years past, with the $50,000 that we had previously gotten annually, a good sized portion of that was used towards the planting plan. So a little bit can certainly go a long way, and we've been very good over the years in getting the most for our dollar as we've worked forward with that. Priority number four under tier one and the last item is the Proctor Lieber House. That is far and away the largest structure on the property, and with that, it certainly has the largest price tag to go along with it. As a part of the 2013 estimate, the amount to preserve and do the work to the Proctor Lieber House that was necessary was a little over $500,000. However, we do want to stress that that did not include any sort of upgrades to technology. That was strictly just the preservation work that needed to be done to the property. And as discussions have been had about that building, this is the one structure on the property that does have legitimate promise as being a retail or food type site on the property. So in preservation, again, that's just making sure that the building is stable, is structurally sound, but it does not necessarily plan for any sort of future uses or uses outside of it, just building a standalone structure as it sits today. So it, because it does have that ability to have the possible retail or food service component of it, we see this as a facility that ultimately we would want to work with somebody on who sees the ability to turn it into a commerce center. And in doing so, would look to share the cost of those level of improvements to do something like that. If an industrial kitchen space needed to be put in there, if we're talking about retail and having to run a significant amount of information technology infrastructure to that, those are items that are not included in that $500,000 quote and would most likely be things that, again, we would need to work with somebody on to understand what their specific needs are. It's not what we would view essentially as items that would be beneficial for us to spend the money on, not knowing essentially what the future usage would be. So those are the four items that are listed under the priority one area. Again, those are all located within the historic core, which you can see in the map are identified by that dashed line around all of those structures themselves. Moving into priority two, this group was determined and established by including structures and areas outside of the historic core. The majority of these structures, in fact, all of these structures, are not in as need as severe of repair, and they do lack the historical significance of the items that are listed in priority one. Additionally, these items are not, based on their location, is not in an area of the current activities and public uses that we feel are being used today or may be used in the immediate future. These are some areas away from that. While they still have value, It is not the driving force behind people coming to the property now, and is not areas that folks are looking to reserve and utilize on an outside basis for that type of activity. So the first item listed in here is the relocation of the garden and increased parking capacity and flow. So the garden is identified on this map as item number J. This location for the garden is not exactly ideal. As you can see, the roadway coming in off of Oracle snakes around the core and around the garden itself, meaning that parking is primarily to the north or very far to the south. It's not exactly convenient a lot of the times, especially for smaller scale events. When there are, a few thousand people there on site, I believe that it's definitely a known fact that you're probably not going to be able to park right next to the entryway. However, if we had the ability to move the garden over into the historic core in an area we've kind of identified over by where the pump house is, this would allow for a little bit closer parking and better flow into the facility itself, into the steam pump ranch site. We see huge benefits to this because folks are not having to walk near as far. It's also something where if you have a smaller event, you're able to see where it is that you're going from the parking lot, which we feel is very beneficial. So if that was able to be accomplished, it would provide for much better flow, And it would also move the garden into the historic core, which we feel is a very good place for it. The garden itself is grown from native seeds there. So it does make sense for it to make its way over there into the historic core and be a part of that story that we're telling. Based on its placement, it can fall right in line with that route I had discussed in moving in. Utilizing that as a parking lot still has you enter through the event lawn, past the barbecue, garage, bunkhouses, push house, as well as making your way then over to the ghost structure. So it, it continues that flow throughout the site, and we feel would be a nice change on two levels where, like I said, the garden moves into the historic core and parking is able to be gained in that area, which parking is definitely a premium. Events are not getting any smaller that are taking place there, and we expect when things return to some level of normalcy, we will see quite a few people wanting to get out and about and returning to a number of the events that we provide there and offer at Steampunk Ranch. Item number two is listed as L on the map. These are the stables. This stable building is currently being used for storage of equipment, and there are some structural issues with the building itself. Additionally, anybody who has driven by through the steam pump,
Exit?
Well, yeah, that exit, I can't think of the name of that shopping center. It's the Steam Pump
Village.
Yeah, Steam Pump Village. So anybody entering the property through that road can see that roof. And that roof is not necessarily what we would consider the most attractive thing to welcome people to the site. So the stables themselves could definitely use some love and care, and which would improve some functionality. We've had some conversations with folks who are interested in possibly renting and using those stables if they were in a little bit better shape. Nothing more than general conversations, but the desire does seem to be there. And if the functionality was there, who knows what opportunity could really come from that. But it is listed as number two, mainly because there are some structural issues with the property there, or with that structure there on the property, that we would like to get taken care of and see as a need. Priority number three under tier two would be the Tack House building, which is located as K on the map. The Tack House itself is structurally sound. It is split into multiple rooms and does serve as on-site storage for both the Parks and Recreation, the town, as well as the Oro Valley Historical Society. Unless there is a drastic desire to change the usage of this building, we do see this as a little bit lower priority compared to the others. That being said, we do know that the Oro Valley Historical Society has voiced an interest in using the Tack House as their final home to store historic artifacts and conduct collection preservation and office space. So we are aware of that, and we definitely want to make mention of it. But when it comes to the structural integrity of that building, it is there. It is not in disrepair, especially in comparison to the other pieces, other structures and areas of the property itself. That will take us to the last item listed on here, which is item number four. So this is Ramada's traffic improvements, entry portals, and landscaping in the panhandle. And the panhandle is identified as that area right up here by the stables and the Tack House. As a part of the master plan itself, there is to be more landscaping up there. There are to be some shade ramadas, and there is to be a new traffic entry point up in that area. That is something that we definitely see the benefit in, but listing it at number four is because we would see the need to go ahead and do these other portions of the property prior to that. That would almost be the finishing touch, because then you would be encouraging folks to drive by the stables, by the Tack House, and they would be, you know, you'd have increased usage at that point in time. So that's the reason for those items being listed where they are on that prioritization plan under tier number two. So coming in and kind of wrapping up this presentation, ultimately it would be the staff's desire to propose items 1 through 3 in the priority 1 section for the upcoming fiscal year 22 budget process. These expenditures, these projects would be, could be offset with revenues as a part of the increased rental fees, as well as more events that go on. There is the possibility for that, certainly. But again, the greatest benefit that we see is this allows us to tell that story of Steam Pump Ranch as best as we possibly can. The structures that we've identified have historical significance, are in disrepair, and do fall into the needs and stabilization assessment, as well as the historic preservation code language that identifies them as items that should definitely have priority themselves. So it would be staff's recommendation, or I'm sorry, it would be our desire to move forward with that. The whole point of this presentation is to inform the commission and the public of the thoughts of staff and the way that we're looking at things and why we're looking at it. Again, focusing on preservation and public benefit, and to really kind of provide a starting point for the discussion that we'll be having here today. So with that being said, I'll turn it back over to you, Commissioner Munden. Thank you all very much for your time.
Yes, we'll now open the floor to public comment. You may raise your hands now, and then afterwards we will go on to our commissioners' discussion. So, anyone from the public would like to raise their hand?
Chair Munden, we do have one hand raised. It's someone that is connecting with us via phone.
Commissioner Hanstead?
Is that Commissioner? No, I renamed Commissioner Hanstead. Oh, did he call back in? Is that him? Maybe it is.
It says he's not connected.
Okay. Well, either way, let's unmute this person. Let's figure out who it is.
Okay. Is someone waiting? Commissioner Hanstead?
Yes, this is Commissioner Hanstead. I have finally reconnected.
Yes, did you would like to make a comment on the priority?
Right now, I just wanted to let you know I was back because for about 20 minutes, I was locked out.
Okay. Do we have anyone from the public that would like to make a comment? Raise your hand. Okay.
We can give it just a minute here.
A minute.
Yeah, just in case. We don't have a whole lot of public joining us today, but just in case here. Sometimes technology doesn't move as fast as our thoughts.
Yes. A reminder, once again, you tap on the participants logo at icon at the top, scroll down to your name and touch it, and you'll be able to raise your hand.
Chair Munden, I think we are good to move on if you wish.
Okay, we'll now open it up to the commissioners for discussion. Do we need to raise our hand or should we just
have at it?
Okay. I have some questions for Mr. Jankowski. On the bunkhouse, what plans do you have for the brides in the whole place? I know there's going to be a lot of weddings.
For the brides? Well, one of the areas that was identified was a bit of a dressing room area, which is definitely a need for that property, not only for weddings like you're referring to, but also when we've got just bands and entertainment and things like that that
right.
Yeah, you know, it's usually a little bit, I don't, you know, a lot of the bands, a lot of the musicians and acts are bringing all of their own backline. We don't provide anything like that. So they get there early, they get set up in whatever clothes they drove there in, and then they usually have performance outfits. So the idea behind turning those bunkhouses into a little bit more of a flexible space like that is that it can be used for a number of uses when the demand is there for them to be a changing room or a bridal ready area, setup area, something like that. When it's not used as such, they can just be open areas that display some level of history and have some historical value on the site. You know, one of the other areas identified there is a bit of a, you know, the possibility of having some office space there for use. And we see that as a legitimate use for those pieces of property as well. Probably not both of them, but definitely one of them.
Chair Munden and commissioners, I think the purpose of the way that the report was given was to capture the things that CommSouth Econ said in their report. It doesn't mean that one of them couldn't be a bathroom, dressing room, and the other one become. We just recognize those as having more opportunity to look at and make decisions moving forward as to what those spaces become. We're not pinholed into just having restrooms there, but truly dressing rooms, because I also see us doing a lot of period, you know, dress type things that the Historical Society now has to come dressed already, and it would be nice to have those dressing rooms. So definitely those would be a nice piece to incorporate there.
Okay. I need to remind everybody to please identify who's speaking first. Thank you.
That was Lynn Ann.
Okay, that was Ms. Delerman Silverthorne speaking. This is Chair Munden, and I have another question on the planting plan. About what percentage is done on that? And when are they going to get to moving the Heritage Garden? Matthew.
Commissioner Munden, commission members, I would have to defer to Lynn Ann as to some sort of an accurate percentage. But the idea of moving the Heritage Garden itself is that fell into the priority two area, or I'm sorry. Yes, that fell into the priority two area. So we don't have any immediate plans to do so. That is something that needs to be addressed as a part of revising the master plan itself as well, because that has got it in that current location right now. We just feel that would be a better usage of the site. And, you know, while that was the location that was picked, having been on the property for as long as we have now and seeing how it works, we feel like there would be a better location for it. So there's no time frame essentially identified with that, but we did not want to, or we wanted to make sure to include it, because it is definitely something we want to look at and prioritize for the future. And that's really the whole point of coming up with this, is identifying the structures on site or the amenities and making sure that they're captured, so that we've got a bit of a game plan moving forward and can all work together to see those goals realized.
Yes, one benefit of moving the Heritage Garden is that the hours spent of volunteering can go toward the museum hours in case they ever want to go to a higher tier. So that's a good thing. So does any other commissioners have anything to discuss?
Chair Munden, this is Lynn Ann Delerman, and I would just say that if you want an accurate percentage of how much of the planting plan has been completed, I have noticed that Director Christy Diaz-Trahan is on the line, and she can give you an accurate or more accurate. My guess would be that we're about, we're less than 50% there, because there's a lot of trees that will go with the parking area when that's completely accurate. We also have an area that now is near the swimming pool that, you know, has in the master plan for the planting master plan has plants identified so that it can be used by brides, et cetera. So, so I would guess less than 50% is currently completed. Although I would say that the most apparent to visitors by having the grass and now the
backyard there. The backyard and orchard.
Yeah, the orchard. Yes, those are all areas that are going to be very visible to the public, especially as those trees grow. The grass has been a boon for all of us. It really has been what has driven a lot of attendance. And if you're there on Saturday morning for the farmer's market, it's in comfortable weather. It's rolling with participants enjoying that grass and picnic tables and music. And just, you know, it's a good experience because of that grass. So.
Director. Thank you, Chair Munden. This is Christy Diaz-Trahan. At this point, I would suggest that we're about 25 to 35% complete. There's a lot of infrastructure that still needs to occur south on the property. It does call for a lot more trees and vegetation to be included. No grass going south. Again, we're telling the story historically. But as you know, as was recommended, I think that if we look at it incrementally and we can implement incrementally, I think that's the strategy to go with the pulling of the new main water line for the garage project will help in terms of getting water out there, and then we can start tapping into that. So we're on a really good pace. We've made significant improvements in terms of user experience. To Lenanne's point, that the grass, not only is it wonderful to play on, it reduced the amount of dust on site significantly. And that was, you know, so we're looking at it not just from an enjoyment piece as far as playing and enjoying green grass, but environmentally. That really helped to mitigate a lot of the dust challenges that we had out there early on.
Thank you. Any further business discussion on this? Okay. I move to adjourn the study session at 3:50 p.m. May I have a second?
Commissioner Honestad, second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
No.
Aye.
Thank you.
Matthew, great presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Jankowski.
Absolutely. Thank you all for your time.
We'll see you in a little bit for our meeting, a couple weeks. Bye.
That's good. Thank you, everybody.